Welcome back to Is It Horror? This is Season 2, Episode 17, Little Nightmares.
I'm Joe.
I'm Matt.
I'm Mitz.
And I am Steve. If you haven't joined us before, or if you have joined us before, each episode we analyze a piece of media, usually a movie, whose horror status is debatable. We look at the creator's intent, audience reception, and the content of the media, all in an effort to better define the horror genre. And if you agree with our take, that's awesome. And if you don't, that's awesome too. Horror is a diverse genre and all are welcome. And before we get into talking about Little Nightmares, we're going to go to Joe's Get to Know You Corner. Joe?
All right. Welcome to the corner. All right. I had kind of two questions today. So we're talking about Little Nightmares. We'll start with the first question and kind of go around and then do the other question. But my first question, like this... game is a lot about, has a lot in it about like food and consumption and things like that. So I guess just a simple question, what are some of your guys' favorite foods? Or what do you like, can't stop eating? Oh, I guess I'll go first. So for me, like I always love good burgers. And like I find myself like, I watch like Bob's Burgers and I'm like, I want a burger. That's the thing. And the other thing that always gets me is pizza. When I see like pictures and things of good pizza, I'm always ready for pizza. So those are a couple of my go-tos for food.
For me, it's all about that cheesecake life. Like whenever I see something as cheesecake flavored, like, or just cheesecake in general, I always get it. And That's my food.
Okay, this is hard because I feel like I change my favorite food all the time. But right now, my favorite two foods are not dishes, but ingredients, okay? Cream cheese and peanut butter. Not together, but also together they would be good too. Cream, anything with cream cheese or peanut butter in it, I'm doing backflips.
Yeah. Peanut butter is just so good on almost everything.
I couldn't live without it, to be honest.
It's funny because I had this conversation at work a while back where I was saying that it's not like I don't like peanut butter, but if all peanut butter disappeared off the face of the planet, it might be a good long time before I noticed.
That's disrespectful.
My previous marriage, my partner was allergic to peanuts, so I am a peanut butter lover, but had to, like, eat it away from her like a rat.
For me, I always go in a bit of waves with favorite anythings, really. I think that at least more recently, I've been kind of on this kick where I really like any sort of fried chicken. But I feel like it's kind of, at least where we are, it's not a thing that a lot of restaurants really, like it's not that they don't carry it, but it's not like there's any place that does it really specialized where we live. And so you can get fried chicken at places like KFC and that's perfectly fine. And there are restaurants that'll have a fried chicken thing, like if we just went to Texas Roadhouse, and of course they have their crispy critters, but there's not really any above fast food level places that are like, we just do chicken and we have a whole bunch of different fried chicken options. So I don't know, it's something I like, but it's kind of hard for me to find a place around here that I feel like does it really well. There's plenty of places that do it just fine and I'm happy with, just, you know, I want that gourmet stuff.
Yeah. Well, the other question I had, I was thinking about, because we've talked about a couple of video games and we've done video game in the past, What Remains of Edith Finch. And, you know, we all like video games. One thing I think about is a lot of times we are, or at least I should speak for myself, I will like, be like working really hard on a video game or trying to get some achievements. Like I've most recently been playing through Resident Evil 4, and there's a lot of stuff that it's like that you have to do like a bunch of playthroughs to get certain achievements, and you work really hard and then like you kind of are like, once you finally get it, you have that little like, did anybody see that moment? Or, you know, but you don't, there's nobody usually to see that. So anyways, I was just curious, like, what are some like achievements that you guys have worked really hard to get? Or what are some games that you've done a bunch on that you're, you know, proud of, I guess, of what you've done for achievement wise, if you are achievement hunters, that is. For me, I guess I kind of already said, like, currently I'm kind of working on Resident Evil 4, but one of the games I've done a lot with in the past is Killing Floor 2, and I made, me and Steve played it all the time, and we do a lot of kind of hardcore sessions, like trying to do all the hard maps, and it was a big deal for me to like get that game like 100%ed. But it was kind of frustrating because they kept like adding different things in and adding different achievements in, so I could never really maintain that 100% level on that game, which is, you know, I guess good and bad. But the things they were adding were things I wasn't as interested in doing, so I kind of let some of that slip. But yeah, anyways, those are a few of mine, or a few of my top ones, I guess.
I was just thinking Killing Floor 2. I gained and lost 100% achievements on that game so many times.
Yeah, same.
For me, I'm not really a big achievement hunter for the most part. I do like... mainly what I get satisfaction from is completing the story of a game, but there are a couple games that I've really slammed pretty hard. One of those was Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which is surprising because I'm not necessarily a big Zelda fan overall, but I really enjoyed that game and got into it and was playing it at a time where there was nothing really else to distract me. And so, yeah, I did, if anybody's familiar with that game, I did every single shrine in the game and all the DLCs and all side quests and everything. The only thing that I didn't do was get all the Korok seeds, which there's like over 900 of them, and the reward is essentially nothing. So that's the only part of that game that I didn't do. And then Dead by Daylight, I have like 180 of 200 plus achievements, which is more a testament to how much I've played the game than me actually achievement hunting. But one day I would like to complete that game.
I think it does say a lot, though, about it, because you can play through that game for hours and hours and hours and end up with almost no achievements to show for it. Because I think I've got 400 some hours in Dead by Daylight, and I've got about 77 of the, 221 achievements. And I just, like, yeah, to play a game that long and to have such a low percentage of the achievements is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, every time they release a new chapter, they release like four or five more achievements, and then they release like four or five chapters a year. So there's just so many achievements that come and go in that game.
So I used to be a pretty avid World of Warcraft player. That was my game for a while, several years. And I went through a phase in WoW where I was obsessed with fishing. So I would go around and get all the rare fish. And I got the like rarest fishing pole and all this stuff. And there's an achievement in the game called Accomplished Angler. That it's not, I wouldn't say it's like one of the hardest achievements, but it's probably like top 15 hardest achievements. And there's like thousands of achievements. So, so basically, it just requires a lot of grinding, a lot of fishing for hours and hours and hours. And you have to win a fishing contest against every single person in your server, basically, on a certain day. And it just requires a lot of fishing and a lot of dedication to the sport of clicking F. So, oh, and the reward for getting it is the Salty title. So then I could go around as Salty Mitzi. So, very proud of that one.
Nice.
I don't know that I have a specific one that was necessarily hard to get. So, I thought what I would instead do was basically say, here are the games that I have perfect achievements on in Steam, which is the original Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 3, and then Resident Evil 2, the demo. Not the main game, just the demo, which apparently also had achievements, which I'd forgotten about. I also, you know, should mention this last episode, but I also have 100% on Half-Life 2, Shadow Warrior Classic Redux, and then another game called Bedlam and The Park, and then, of course, Batman Arkham Asylum. And I guess at least a frustration with achievements. So before the Dead Space remake came out, the only Dead Space game that had achievements on Steam was Dead Space 3, and that was a more recent thing as well. And so I should have 100% on that game, but there is an achievement for getting all the other achievements, and it's broken, so it does not unlock for you. So while I have 100% on Dead Space 3, it won't register, because the final achievement, for some reason, won't kick over, and it is a source of great aggravation for me. And I'm one achievement away from all the achievements on Dead Space Remake. I just have to do my impossible run, I think. I forget what the difficulty's called at the moment, but I just have to do that one last, like, impossible run, and then I'll have 100% on that one.
Nice. I guess on that note, like, I mean, we did Half-Life last time, and I made it a point a while back to make sure to go through and get, like, 100% achievements on all the Half-Life games, because, as we've discussed, I've always really loved those. But yeah, anyways, I don't know. Gaming's a great time, and it's fun to talk to other gamers. So thanks for sharing, guys.
You're welcome, Joseph. You're welcome. Well, and as you already know, the game we're talking about tonight is Little Nightmares. That was released in 2018. And the developer on that is Tarsier Studio, or Tarsier Games, which I'm sure I've mispronounced. They also did a lot of the work. They did all of the Little Big Planet series, or I think most of them, as I understand it. They didn't necessarily work on some of the offshoot games, but the main titles, I believe, were all them. And then the publisher that we have for Little Nightmares is Bandai Namco Entertainment, which you may know from such games as Pac-Man and Dark Souls and Galaxian and One Piece, Soul Calibur, Time Crisis, and Tekken. So kind of all over the place with the kinds of games that they've done, and they've been around just about almost as long as there have been video games. As far as the back-of-the-box description for Little Nightmares, immerse yourself in Little Nightmares, a dark, whimsical tale that will confront you with your childhood fears. Help Six escape the Maw, a vast and mysterious vessel inhabited by corrupted souls looking for their next meal. I guess an interesting piece of trivia with this is that originally the game was going to be called Hunger, which is probably a trivia that anyone coming to this who's played the game a lot already knows, but eventually the development team decided that Hunger Game would have been pretty much unsearchable with the existence of the book series Hunger Games, and decided that they maybe ought to change it to something else. But of course, that prevailing theme of hunger is continuous throughout the first game, at least. Spoiler warning. So I guess anything that happens in the first game is, of course, up for grabs as far as spoilers go. I myself have only played the first game, and I think that's also true, at least I know for Joe. So I correct. Don't mind if there's spoilers for the other games, but there might be a little less so than spoilers for the first game, but we'll see how that goes. So I guess be warned that there might be spoilers for the whole series. So as far as creator intent goes, I have a couple quotes here. One is from Lucas Russell, who, again, I'm sorry for mispronouncing that name, but he is the lead producer on Little Nightmares. And so in describing the game, he said, yeah, well, basically, it's true that we don't have a game that is easy to classify. I mean, we're not doing a horror game, not action game. We call it suspense adventure because we have exploration, we've got puzzles, we've got also platforming and some kind of tension thrilling moments. And then another interview at gamerslounge.com with Jan Christensen, interviewing Asger Christiansen, who is the chief designer on Little Nightmares. And so Jan had asked, what is Little Nightmares called as a genre? And so Asger said, although at first glance it may seem like a horror game, the style is suspense adventure. Little Nightmares is meant to surprise and create discomfort without being downright creepy. We show an area where the camera deliberately does not reveal too much. It encourages players to explore and form a picture of what has happened and what is going on. Since the game is completely dialogue-free, sound is particularly good at conveying an impression, an overall impression of what is going on. Okay, so at least we've got a couple quotes from developers saying that they didn't see the game as horror. There was actually quite a few more, but of course, you know, you could share them all day long. But at least to give you a picture that the developers didn't feel like they were out to design a horror game. And another thing that kind of goes along with that too is Bandai Namco's own site labels the game as action-adventure. And there are a lot of game sales sites that seem to follow suit with that designation. So for instance, if you go to buy this game in the PlayStation, Xbox, Humble Bundle, GOG, Greyman Gaming, all of them have gone with Bandai Namco's description as action and or adventure. And then Nintendo's site itself just refers to the game as a platformer without any further genre. But the other thing that I did discover while looking at all of this that I thought was a bit interesting is that there are a lot of these video game sites that don't outright include horror as a game genre label. It's not to say that it doesn't exist at all, but I did have trouble finding it. Specifically, Nintendo, Humble Bundle, and Xbox didn't appear to have a prevalent horror label. So I looked at a few other game series that I think most people generally consider horror, so like Resident Evil, Outlast, Dead by Daylight, Alien Isolation. None of those have a horror designation in any of those store sites. So the fact that they don't call it horror, I don't know, it means a little bit less since apparently they don't call anything horror. Steam tags is a different issue. You go to Steam tags. Again, it's worth noting that these are user submitted. I have a couple things about how Steam tags work in just a second, but some of the descriptors for this game that you have for Steam tags is horror, atmospheric, and adventure. Those all appear on the main page for the game. If you dig a little deeper, as far as genre selected by users, you have dark, indie, psychological horror, survival horror, and action. And a little bit on Steam tag designation. From their own frequently asked question page about Steam tags, they have, for developers, they say, what if I don't agree with a tag that has become popular for my game? So, you know, if you're a developer and that happens, what do you do? Steam's answer is, tags can be a good indicator of when there is a mismatch between how you perceive your game and how your game is perceived by customers. Often this is simply because there is some piece of information regarding the game that customers feel is missing from the story page. So all that to say that if you, as a developer, feel that you haven't made a horror game, that doesn't stop users from applying that tag to the game, and Steam won't correct that application of the tag either. So it kind of explains again how you get horror as the one of the main page descriptors for this game, despite the company, the developers, feeling that's not what they were going for. Another thing that they had on that frequently asked questions was just, does my product start with tags applied to it? And which Steam replied with, yes, the genres that you select for your game or software will become the initial set of tags applied to your product. These may then eventually become surpassed as most relevant tags on your product if users are frequently applying another tag. So basically, you can tell them what you want it to be, but that can get usurped over time. So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting, just seeing how that got designated. As far as Google Wikipedia search trends, the game's really only 5 years old for the first one, and there really wasn't any sort of discernible pattern that I could find that would indicate if people are searching it more or less often around Halloween, which again is kind of a metric that we use to look at how people regard it, although it doesn't necessarily say that it is or isn't a horror, even if they are searching it that often. All right, so now that I've talked plenty, how did everyone feel? Is the first Little Nightmares game, horror.
For me, I'm going with dark fantasy, maybe on the side of children's horror. I can certainly see other arguments. I don't know. I might waffle a little bit as we talk about it through the episode, but I think I'm in the realm of dark fantasy.
I do think that this is firmly in the horror category for me.
Yeah, this is horror for me as well.
Oddly enough, I hadn't considered the dark fantasy tag for this, but that does make sense. I think my first inclination is just to say outright horror. I do like the idea of it being children's horror, and I wouldn't mind discussing that a little bit further. I think that while the main protagonist of the game is a child, I'm not sure that I would necessarily say it is a game for children. But anyway, we can get into that in a second. I thought it's interesting. It's an interesting discussion to have in any case. So I guess the first thing we'll get into is kind of the gameplay itself. So how does this game compare to other horror games that you've played, other horror franchises that you've played?
Well, I do think that this game is sort of more, it's more story-driven than some of the horror games that have been coming out recently. Of course, something like a Resident Evil is story-driven, but this game, I feel, is more... It has a deep story, but it's also kind of a little bit of a vague story that is left up to your interpretation as the person playing. And I think that's a little bit different than other horror games. I also feel that this game tends to rely on a lot of different things to maybe induce fear or create tension. There are jump scares, but it's not just jump scares. It's tension, environment, music. It creates that feeling of fear and uneasiness in a lot of different ways. So that's something that maybe sets it apart from other games.
Yeah, I think the horror's not as in your face for this game. I think it's more insidious and creepy. And the story, or I guess the objective, is also not clear. All you really know at the beginning, and really all the way up to the end, is I need to get out of this place, but we don't know what this place is. We don't know why we need to get out or how we got there. We just know that we need to keep moving forward until something happens. So that kind of adds to the creepiness of it, because you don't really know where you're going or why. You're just kind of wandering.
I think one of the things that I found a little bit interesting about this, well, a couple things just in comment to what you've just said. I know a lot of people I've seen have described this game as very story rich, that it has a rich lore. For me, having just played the first base game, I felt like it was really light. But as I understand it, the lore gets really deep in the second game. Would you say that's true? Matt, you've played the second game. Mitz, have you?
I have not, no.
For the second game, I think there is a little bit more of a... There's kind of... I don't know how to explain it exactly. There is definitely more story there that isn't left up to interpretation like the first one. There's more like, okay, this is concrete. I'm being part of a narrative here, rather than in the first one, it's just kind of you're left up to interpret it yourself. So I do think, like, you were talking to me a little bit offline about how people were saying, well, we think that this is somebody is Six's father, or we think this character is this. But I don't really buy into those kind of, like, sort of fan fiction-y interpretations of the story. Like, not that they're wrong or anything, but I'm more in I'm more just...
But there's no way to verify if they're right.
Right. So I'm kind of... What I like about the first game is kind of the sense of struggle and going through this world and how Six kind of is feeling herself turning into something. She's not really... Maybe not really sure what, and then fighting back against these people that are trying to attack her or keep her captive. So that's kind of... It's light on story, but I think what's there is powerful in a way.
Gotcha. And I guess just for the other part of it, just to say how it compares to other horror games for me, I think that it's a lot different than any other horror game that I've played. But I think that one of the things that at least comes down to for me is that I don't end up playing a lot of platformers, which this clearly heavily is. So I'm not really sure what to expect from a horror game that is a platformer, if the kinds of things that I'm dealing with here and encountering are fairly par for the course for that subgenre of game, platformer horror games. So for me, it was really different, but I might find if I played a lot of horror platformers that it's actually very similar. I couldn't say on that.
I haven't played much either. And that's one of the things I guess I was thinking about. And Steve, you and I talked about this, but it's just like, one of the things that's different for me about this game than other games I've played is that it's a platformer, and the way you move in the world and the way the controls work, and they, for me, they were a little clunky, and I couldn't really, it was hard to do what I wanted to do and hard to make the character do what I wanted it to do. And I, you know, I'm sure that's just me not being familiar with the style of game. In a way, maybe that's, I was thinking about it too. Like, it kind of feels like, it feels like you're in a dream trying to run away from something, but you keep falling over yourself for no reason. And like, that's kind of the way that some of the controls kind of worked for me in some of the areas. And maybe that's fitting because it is called Little Nightmares after all. I don't know. I guess that was one of the things that, but occasionally that whole thing kind of took me out of the horror feel of it, because I ended up just kind of being more frustrated rather than like focused on some of the horror parts going on.
Yeah, I would agree that I did enjoy this game, but I did find the control scheme a bit clunky. I played with a controller the whole way through, and having kind of your run, your jump, and your grip button, which you need to use in concert all together in several points, all being on the right side, a little bit cumbersome control-wise.
Yeah, I played the first one and the second one all on mouse and keyboard, save for one part in the second one that I actually just had to move over to a controller because I feel that it's maybe impossible to do on mouse and keyboard. But I do think that I can say that the controls are a little bit clunky with it. That's an element of the horror of the game, is that some of the parts are like the scaling of difficulty between areas. Like some areas you'll solve the puzzle so easily, and some other areas it's just like wildly difficult because of the way the controls are. So I can see that.
So, kind of going into the style of gameplay and the style of game that this is as a platformer, did you feel like this game was immersive to play?
Yes and no for me, I guess. Like I kind of already mentioned, like it was immersive in ways, but then I also got kind of taken out of it when I was just kind of struggling moving through the world a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, that was going to be my exact answer. So during the parts where I could like just run and dodge and jump and do all these things in fluidity, I thought it was really immersive, especially whenever like something was chasing me and I could easily run away, but I was still kind of freaking out a little bit. I felt very much like I was being chased. I felt those parts were really immersive. But then, you know, when I get to parts where I have to repeat it like 7 times before I'm successful, and you're just getting frustrated, that obviously that takes you out of the immersion, because you're reminded that you're just playing a game and you're not a little girl running away from a creepy long armed monster.
Yeah, that's exactly where I weigh in on all of that. It was immersive up until the, and at times clunky control scheme took me out of it from dying a bunch, or realizing that I could fall one way or another over a pipe that I was trying to, you know, tightrope walk. Stuff like that would pull me out of it, and then having to die a bunch of times. And then after a while, you're like, yes, I know that there's a fat man trying to eat me and I'm just a little child, but also I can't jump over this and grip this thing, so I don't care anymore.
Sounds like a skill issue, guys.
It is. Yeah. It is. I know. I just need to get good. That's what it is. And I understand that.
I fully admit that, too. It's just not a style of game I'm used to, I guess.
So going along with that concept, then, how important do you think immersion is to the feeling of horror?
I think it's, like, crucial. At least for fear. I don't know about horror, like, the umbrella of horror, but to feel fear, you have to be immersed.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think some of the best horror games of the current time that we're in, how do you say, this era, maybe like Resident Evil 7 or, I'm sorry, what's the name of the game? Outlast. These games are first person, and the reason that they're first person is because it puts you in the shoes of the protagonist. You are the protagonist. You're experiencing the horror firsthand rather than a third person game like Resident Evil, which doesn't really frighten me in any way anymore. Well, I said Resident Evil, but the other Resident Evils that are third person, not like the first person Resident Evil games. So with that said, you're probably going to ask, well, The Little Nightmares isn't first person. But I don't know. I feel like playing it as your protagonist, as this child, kind of puts you in their shoes to an extent a little bit more, just because it's a child, and they're, so that is kind of what puts me more immersed into the situation, is experiencing that kind of childlike fear.
Yeah, I would say that you definitely, when you're in those moments of like the chase scenes and things, and like there's these giant fat people chasing you, there, it definitely does a good job of making you feel like a small little child running away.
So going along with that concept, one of the things that I had a quote from one of the developers, Dave Mervick, who's the senior narrative director on Little Nightmares, he had said in an interview talking about the second game that the first game, his quote was, first game, which was about being utterly alone and vulnerable. So, as we've talked about, you do play a child as the main character of this one. Did the gameplay and choice of main character make you as a player feel vulnerable? And how did that contribute to whether you felt this was horror or not?
One of the interesting things I noted about the game was, you're supposed to be, you are a little child playing as your character, but like also the world around you seems so big. Like it, like everything seems scaled up. Like you are a little child, like, you know, if, and not young, just small, like everything seems disproportionately large. And I think that does play a big factor in it, and it does, I think, work towards the goal of making you feel vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that, that the scale of the environment and the scale of the monsters and enemies that you're dealing with definitely makes you feel small, literally, and vulnerable and alone even more so. So that's definitely an excellent point.
I agree. It definitely adds to the horror of it. But it also makes the game really unique in that way because, like in real life, a very small child is not going to face off against a very large, tall, fat man. So they have to use their skills in other ways by, like, sneaking into really small, tight corners and going under little tiny doors and jumping up on top of the rafters and things like that, things that larger characters couldn't do. So I like the choice. It makes it unique.
So that kind of leads into my next question, is the whole idea of the main gameplay loop here is running or hiding. I've even seen some people describe this game as kind of more hide and seek than anything. So how does that work on you as a player on an emotional level, that your options are usually just to run or hide? Does that add to that horror atmosphere?
I think it kind of does. Honestly, those type of games honestly end up kind of annoying me, though, if I'm being honest. Like, I guess I've said that several times. But the point is, like, the types of games where I can't fight back, like, I'm not saying they're not horror. I just don't generally like that style of game. It's, you know, one of the reasons why I haven't, like, gotten as into, like, Dead by Daylight. I just don't feel like there's as much I can do. I can't fight back as much. And again, obviously, some of that comes down to I just need to get good because I just don't have the skill in those types of games. I don't know. I guess I lost the question in my babbling, but I guess for me, just like that, that element, I think, does work towards horror, but doesn't work on me on a personal level.
I don't necessarily think being able to fight back or not fight back makes it any less horror, at least initially, because I've definitely felt like in a Resident Evil game where you're well armed and you can fight back, I've definitely still felt a big feeling of horror. I think what sort of separates it more than anything is how accustomed you are to the gameplay and how used to it you've gotten. Because, like, when I was playing Outlast is a game where you can't fight back. And initially, when I was starting in the game, I was just like, I was shaking, like literally shaking playing the game at the beginning because I was like scared of it. But then I figured out what the formula was and was no longer scared. So I think it's really just once you've got the formula down, whether you fight back or not, that's really what's the determining factor.
I don't know. To me, having to hide makes me feel a lot more vulnerable and does make it scarier for me personally, just because the stakes are so much higher. And you know, if you get caught, it's over. There's no, like, beating them off. So, yeah, that's how I feel about it.
You're not supposed to beat them off, Mitz.
Oh my god, just cut that part out.
Nope.
Please, I'm not beating them off.
I agree. If you had to beat them off, it would definitely make you feel more vulnerable.
That's a whole different horror.
Yes. I agree, though, that at least for me, the idea that all that you can do is run or hide, again, that not being able to fight back or being able to fight back doesn't make or break a horror game. It doesn't necessarily concretely say one thing or the other. I do think that in this game, having the scale of things, as we've already mentioned, that you're a child, that it's insta-death if you get caught by anything, and that your only options are to run or hide, all of that adds up to a atmosphere of horror within the game. So I think that those gameplay mechanics do add up to horror in the presentation of this game for me. And I guess looking at the next thing, I mean, we've got the word nightmares right there in the title. So the general look and feel of the game kind of establish a dark and surreal atmosphere. So did the game feel nightmarish? And is that the same as horror?
So I want to speak on that because we talked about how the idea of the running and grabbing and the mechanics and how it sometimes just feels like you just can't quite reach things. And to me, without sounding, I don't know if this was intentional, but I've definitely had a lot of nightmares or a lot of bad dreams where I'm like reaching for things and can't get to them. So it's almost like that is part of the nightmare aesthetic of the game, is getting close to your goal but not quite being able to reach out to it.
I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think it really works for the game, because I've definitely had that type of dream too, and it being about nightmares. The other thing I was thinking about with this game is, like, if you get caught, then you do quote unquote die, but you then your character just, like, you know, wakes up in a corner somewhere. So it kind of got me thinking about it, like, I could see a scenario or an explanation of this game of it just being a nightmare, or it just being, or even if it is supposed to be kind of real, I guess, like, none of the bad stuff, or the bad stuff is maybe just magnified through the child's eyes, and all the things are a little bit more horrible than they actually are. And, you know, the kid, like, falls asleep as she's going through the maw, and then, like, oh, like, I, you know, wakes up from the nightmare, but, you know, is never actually getting killed. Anyways, I guess I'm babbling on a bit, but I guess I do feel like there's a bunch of the gameplay style that kind of ties into nightmares and dreams and what it feels like to be in nightmares and dreams.
I definitely think it felt nightmarish because it was very surreal. It was, you're never quite sure. Like, for me, we mentioned how things were disproportionate, and I wasn't sure if that was, like, true to Six's real life, or if all of these things are just her nightmare. Like, she feels very small in comparison to this chair and these monsters that are not human looking but just a little bit human looking are way bigger than her. And I don't know, if it just felt like a nightmare, like just a surreal, macabre, kind of gothic-y nightmare. Is that the same as horror? No. But I think there's a lot of crossover.
Is it the same as horror when you've just woken up in your bed alone in the dark from a nightmare?
I mean, I guess all nightmares are horror, or we wouldn't call them nightmares because we wouldn't be scared of them.
And we're kind of talking about the surreal nature of the way that things look, the scaling, the way that the creatures you encounter look, you know, from various exaggerated features in one way or another. So I guess, how do you feel that helped contribute to the horror aesthetic? It sounds like for the most part, we agree that that's part of it. Like, if we'd done a whole different art style, if a whole different art style had been done here, if everything had been done to scale and they went for a realism look, but everything else was the same, would you still feel certain this was horror? Would that change things?
Actually, for me, I don't think that this game would be horror without the surrealism and the aesthetic that it had. I think the aesthetic for me is what sent it over to horror. Because it is creepy. Don't get me wrong. The storyline is creepy, and some of the things that happen are creepy and scary, but for me, the aesthetic and the content mixed together is what made it horror.
I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. It's hard for me to visualize what that would be and what that would look like. So I can't say 100%, but I can say that the scaling and the aesthetic of this played a really important role in the feeling and the mood and the tone of the game. So I definitely think it would be a drastic change if they went more realistic on things.
So there are a couple things that exist out there that might be worth looking up. Is there's a few mods out there that completely replace all the characters with, like, Toy Story and Disney characters. So you should check that out sometime and see how you feel about the game from that. But
oh my god,
I agree that I think that the surreal and deformed bodies of most of the creatures, most of the people, quote unquote, that you encounter in this definitely adds to the horror atmosphere and the lighting scheme that most things are in dark, that you're the only bright thing in the environment for the most part. I think that that definitely adds to the horror vibe of the game. I think, yeah, if you had the exact same gameplay, but the scale was fixed and the animation was different, that could change the whole thing, even if the lighting and the missions were generally the same. I guess going along with the nightmare thing too, we talked about this a little bit, but I guess to dig into it a little bit more, for this first game, at least, the game gives very few concrete answers as to who anyone is, both friend and foe alike. And we've talked plenty of times on the show about leaving things unanswered, keeping the audience from getting comfortable. That can help to maintain a horror atmosphere. So do you feel like the lack of explanation, at least in this first little Nightmares game, helped to make it feel more or less like horror to you?
For me, I don't know if I'd say that it made it feel more or less like horror, but I think that's another element for me that ties into the whole theme of nightmares and dreams and things like that. Is just like all the stuff going on. There's a bunch of crazy things happening, but you're never going to get an explanation for it. I guess that's how if this particular thing worked for me. It didn't necessarily make it more horror for me that it didn't explain itself.
Yeah, I don't know if it made it more or less horror, but I liked that it was sort of up to interpretation and wasn't overly explained. I think it definitely adds to the mystery of it, because you're not sure where these things are coming from or what they'll do or what their motivations are. So definitely adds at least to the mystery, and the mystery potentially adds to the horror of it.
Yeah, I don't know if it adds to the horror. Maybe it does, but it definitely added to the intrigue for me, because I kept talking to the conehead people. Like, every time I'd see a little conehead man, I would go talk to him. Okay. I was getting, like, progress towards an achievement, and the achievement said something ominous, like, something like, be careful who you're friends with, or be careful who you trust, or something like that, every time I would befriend one of these conehead people. And then I ended up eating one, so I had no idea what was going on. It was completely shocking. And I was like, am I the bad guy?
Yeah, I thought that a few times during the game. Like, I was wondering, like, am I the good guy here? I'm not so sure, even before I ate the little sausage guy who was just there to feed me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel terrible about that.
Yeah. I think that mystery can add to the feel of horror in a lot of media, but that it doesn't work for or against this game's favor towards the horror genre here, just because there's so little explanation on things that it kind of keeps the mechanics in the game simple for the player. So rather than adding a particular air of mystery that kept me off balance, it was kind of just more streamlining, I guess. Because I've definitely seen movies and games where it's like, okay, well, I don't know the answer to this thing, and that is unsettling that I don't know the answer. But I just didn't get that kind of vibe here from any of this sort of mysterious atmosphere or characters. Like, it just didn't work in the games. It didn't work for or against the game in this setting. What would you say was the most tense part of the game for you? Or is there a moment that you played where you're like, this moment sent it home to me that it's definitely horror?
Oh, definitely when I ate the rat. Or when...
Yeah.
See, now I'm... See, that's how you know it's immersive, when I'm saying I ate the rat. When Six ate the rat, then I was like... I don't know why that creeped me out so much. It just took it from being, like, maybe a children's horror to, like, something darker than that for me.
I'm sitting here trying to think of a specific moment. I guess there's maybe lots of them. There's a few. Well, you know, and I ended up being kind of the odd man out, maybe not saying this is solidly horror, but some of the moments that felt more that way, I guess, were the long-armed guy, the jailer or whatever they call him. Some of the moments with him are pretty creepy. And another moment was like when you're just like sneaking through the kitchen and the cook is sitting there chopping like a fish or something or meat or some sort. And the cook just like casually reaches up and like scratches his face, but he like pushes up like what at least I thought was his face, and to like, and it shows like it's actually some sort of mask and there's a face underneath that. And it's like, oh, I don't know. It was just kind of creepy. And you're like, whoa, what's going on here? So I guess those are a couple of moments for me.
I think that the early parts of the game were more tense for me than the later parts of the game, especially because you don't really have a handle on what's going on and exactly the mechanics and what you can and can't do. So just by nature of that, you feel a little bit more limited. This game definitely doesn't, I wouldn't say that it has any puzzles that are extremely difficult, but it doesn't really give you anything to work with other than maybe some cues around the environment. But it's not going to hint at you where to go or what to do exactly. So I think some of those early areas where you're dealing with the janitor, I found to be more tense than the latter half of the game, where I had a better sense of what was going on. Especially when you're looking at like the guest section where they're all kind of clamoring over each other to eat you. I tended to find that more silly than any sort of tense horror vibe coming from it. And then sometimes frustration, because the scene where the guy throws the table at you, I got killed so many times there that it was so frustrating for me. That is just, you know, out of it entirely. But I will say that the guest side of it too really reminded me of Spirited Away. I don't know how many people here may or may not have seen that, but that section really gave me Spirited Away vibes.
Can definitely see that.
What do you guys think was the hardest part? Like, where did you get stuck the longest?
I got stuck the longest in the guests eating section, because like I said, I got hit by the table so many times, because there's one part where the guy, you just going through the door, he notices you and immediately tosses the table as he knocks himself down to come eat you. I got hit by the table. I got ate by him. It was ridiculous. And then I got a little bit past there, and there's the part where you have to like run through the table, on top of the table, around the guests to get to the part where you can jump off. And again, like, my platformer skills were not good, and I got caught and eaten so many times. And then the handful of times where I'd make it to the edge of the table where it was safe and have to jump, I would miss holding on to the trellis that you're supposed to be climbing up and have to do it all again. So that part held me up the most.
Yeah, the running on the table was a long one for me. That's probably where I got stuck the longest. Or when you're trying to chop the jailer's arms off, I kept getting caught by him.
Same. I had struggles with that area as well.
It took me a while to figure out what to even do there.
Yeah, Matt had to tell me what to do there.
I do think the section where you're running from the guests is probably the hardest, technically, in the game. Just because it's like, you can't mess up, and you have to time it right so you can sort of jump around and move over the ones that have fallen on the floor. So that's definitely the most annoying part.
Another thing I kind of wanted to touch on, but maybe even before we just get into this. So, Joe, you mentioned the idea of this potentially being children's horror, if it is horror in your estimation. So I guess I wanted to see where everyone weighed in on that. Would you consider this children's horror if you were to subcategorize it within the horror genre? Or do you think that works or that doesn't work?
All right, in my defense on this,
well, no, there's no defense. I don't think you're right or wrong. I just think it's an interesting take, and I hadn't thought of it before, so I'm curious to talk about it.
Yeah, and I see a lot of the points about, like, yeah, this probably isn't made for kids specifically, so you probably can't really call it children's horror. But some of the things that made me think that way where, I mean, there's some kind of, I guess, obvious, like, correlations, like, you're a little girl in a yellow rain slicker, so my mind went to Coraline, and that kind of got me thinking, too, about, like, I mean, obviously, we got to take this game on its own terms, so we can't, like, say, you know, what else it could have been, but I also kind of, that got me thinking about, like, well, what if you put this in a stop motion movie, or you put it in the hands of Tim Burton or something like that. Like, I guess I just started drawing some of those parallels, and that got me thinking about children's horror. And then just the fact that you are a child and you're kind of looking at the world through what is probably a scared child's view of the world, or of the world that they're inhabiting. So anyways, those were the things, some of the reasons I was thinking about children's horror.
I could definitely see where you're going with that, because when you're watching this, or when you're playing this, it kind of goes, it sort of is looking a bit like Nightmare Before Christmas or Tim Burton or something, or Coraline. It kind of does have like that sort of look and feel. So I think it's almost feeling a little bit like children's horror because it's quote unquote cartoony in a way. But I definitely think that the game itself has a lot of very dark themes, themes of like suicide, people hanging from the ceilings, children being eaten. I feel like it's maybe crossing that line, although there's definitely some dark stories that were made that are made for children, but I think it crosses a line a little bit from being able to be classified as pure children's horror.
I do think it is worth mentioning, I guess, since we're talking about that, that there's two different rating boards. One that's called the Pan-European Game Information Rating, so that's the PEGI rating that you sometimes see. And then in America, they have the Entertainment Software Rating Board, or ESRB. The PEGI rating for this is 16, so that it should be no one under the age of 16 would be allowed to purchase it. The ESRB rating is teen, which is no one under the age of 13 would be able to buy it in any case. So at least as far as the ratings go in those countries, you in theory wouldn't be selling it to someone younger than 13. Although whether or not that gets adhered to or not is, you know, certainly up to the parents and stores to enforce. When I worked at a KB Toys long ago that sold video games, unless it was mature, you'd pretty much sell it to anybody, and even then probably be okay to sell it to just about anybody. So I don't know if that affects whether or not we think of it as children's horror, but at least how it was rated in terms of, in theory, who could buy it.
Sorry if this is jumping the gun, because I know this is one of your next points, Steve, but I guess the other thing that I was thinking about was kind of, it felt like I could see something like this being like a grim fairy tale. And you know, some of those fairy tales are pretty dark and deal with like children's death and sometimes cannibalism and things like that. So I guess that was another thing that that's why I was kind of, my headspace was in the like dark fantasy children's horror area, just because it felt very grim fairy tales-ish to me.
I completely agree, because I was thinking about it, and that's why I brought the whole... So I have one of my notes on here is just talking about the relationship to fairy tales. So obviously eating children is a big thing that's happening here, but that's also a theme that often happens in fairy tales. So fairy tales often deal with the theme of hunger or the villain's intent to eat children at the center of the story, like Jack and the Beanstalk, Hansel and Gretel, Little Red Riding Hood. And often the case is, same as with Little Nightmares, that the child is eaten entirely whole, so usually not in bits. Now, obviously, there's illusion in this game that there are children being cut up. There's the cooks there. There's raw meat and there's sausage and things like that. But when you get caught, you're just plop fully in the mouth. No, you know, no like ripping you in half or anything, that just eating you whole. So I guess with that fairy tale imagery, so for you, that made that children's horror connection, because I could see that. I could definitely see that connection. Did that kind of contribute to the horror field, that kind of darker side of fairy tale connection?
It does contribute to that horror feel, but I guess it ended up feeling more, I don't know. I guess it's like, do you consider the Grimm fairy tales or some of those ones you mentioned horror? And I guess I've never thought of any of those specifically as horror. It felt more in line with that type of story. So I guess for me, no, it didn't make it feel more like horror for me.
I think the thing that's interesting about fairy tales, though, is that there are so many different versions of them. And, you know, they change over time. And so it's hard to say, for instance, just to take one of them, it's hard to say Little Red Riding Hood is a horror story. But if you get the right one, then it certainly can be. And there's plenty of horror movies that are based around that concept. The Company of Wolves is one that comes to mind that's taking the Little Red Riding Hood concept and turning it into, leaning into the horror vibe that exists there, but really going for it. So I guess, at least for me anyway, feeling like a fairy tale doesn't necessarily make something feel like horror, but I think that this is leaning into the darker energy that you do encounter in some versions of fairy tales. And for me, that part of it added to it in this instance.
I definitely see the comparison to I definitely see the comparison to fairy tales, to Grimm fairy tales of Little Nightmares. I guess the tonally it reminds me a lot of those stories. But I also think it's even a little more darker than those stories. So, I don't know. To me, it's still more horror than just children's horror. And the eating does have a lot to do with it for me. The being eaten, but also the act of eating things that one should probably not eat is disturbing to me personally. So, I definitely still classify it as horror.
If the goal of the crew and the guests of the mall was something different, not to eat the children, just to stop you because you shouldn't be there, or maybe just to outright kill you if they caught you, would that change the vibe of it for you?
I think it would change the vibe depending on what their alternative action was, would determine if it was horror or not. If they were trying to kill me or imprison me, I think still horror, maybe? But then there'd still have to be some nefarious reason why they would imprison me. So, I don't know. That's a hard one.
I had a whole bit where I was kind of, I don't know, bring up the idea of cannibalism in general, if whether or not they were cannibals made a difference. But I think ultimately, like we've already discussed, the fact that they're trying to eat you, I mean, we've kind of said what we've said on it, but I do think it's interesting, the concept that we don't really know if anyone that you encounter in this is human or not. So, I mean, maybe it's cannibalism, but at the same time, we really don't know that Six is necessarily the same species as anything that's trying to eat her.
That is true. I guess I hadn't really thought about that. But they, you know, all the guests are so much like bigger and different looking that, yeah, I guess you can't be certain that it's supposed to be the same species.
I think there's a little bit of commentary on that in the second game, so I don't want to spoil it, but I do kind of think that we're potentially looking at the same species here.
Gotcha. Because I was looking at because I was going to slip a Dawn of the Dead quote in here with Dr. Millard Rosh, who is like, the normal question, the first question is always, are these cannibals? No, they are not cannibals. Cannibalism, in the true sense of the word, implies an interspecies activity. These creatures cannot be considered human. They prey on humans. They do not prey on each other. That's the difference.
Nice.
Yay.
Dummies! Dummies! No.
So I thought we'd try something a little bit interesting here that we haven't done before, just kind of as we're wrapping up the episode, is I happen to search a lot through the Steam discussions. For those that aren't familiar, Steam is the gaming platform on PC that a lot of people use. It's one of the places that you can buy this, and it has a discussion social component to it. We've already brought up Steam a little bit with designation, but so going through the comments for this game, I looked up horror to see what people were saying, if they were saying they thought it was or they wasn't. So I thought I would read a few of these comments and then see, just our reaction to it if anybody wanted to react to them. So one of the ones I had saying not horror was from Counting Beans 81. If any of you folks whose names we are calling out happen to hear this, go ahead and give us a shout out and tell us you hate us for using your words. But anyway, so what they said was, I just finished this game and I would classify this game as a platformer with a mildly creepy environment. That's it. I'm very confused why so many identify this game as a horror game. It was very beautiful for what it was, but this is not a horror game and there was just a few moments that were scary. Otherwise, I say this is a standard platformer with a slightly creepy setting. I think I got the wrong idea about this game.
I guess my initial reaction to that is like, I'm the one kind of on the fence about whether it's horror or not, I guess. But I understand why it's called horror as well. So I see their point, but I also like, I don't know. I think it's okay for anybody to feel like this is horror. It's got enough there.
Yeah, I think that they're coming at it a little bit from a subjective standpoint there, where they didn't feel the horror as much as some other people might have. But I think that it definitely, objectively speaking, has a lot of horror elements to it.
All right, and then I'm going to skip over one of these because I had a few, but another one, I don't know how you would pronounce this, but M-I-A-O, meow, maybe?
Meow. Sounds right.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, like a cat.
Like a cat. Meow. Meow. Anyway, they said, Little Nightmares is, believe it or not, not a horror game at all. The store page says so for some reason. We talked about that earlier. Little segue. But the community just likes to add those tags. It's intended to be a creepy, unsettling adventure game with mystery behind it. Aside from that, a pretty good review. He was talking to somebody, so in his review. So then he says, it's been confirmed by the developers that it is indeed not a horror game, though, but a dark and creepy adventure game.
I think that's leaning, we talked about this already, but I think it's leaning a little heavy on the developer's opinion of it, which does matter, I think. I do think that plays a part in it, but it also matters how the game is received by its audience. And I think there's enough people out there who feel it's horror that I don't think it's wrong to call it that.
Yeah, I don't think that the classification of horror hinges entirely on the intention of the people that made it, and we've talked about that before, how things can become something that they were never built to be or intended to be, but the way that we perceive it can classify it just as much as how people intended it to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole thing of what we're doing here, right, is the idea that intent certainly counts, but it's not the only word on the subject. I think that if you take it on a small microcosm scale, if you are just interacting with a friend or a coworker or just somebody, and they say something to you that you find hurtful and offensive, and then they tell you afterward that their intent wasn't to hurt or offend you, that doesn't make the hurt or the offense feel any less real. So why not take it on a larger scale with art? I do think it's interesting here that we have developers who, by all accounts, didn't set out to make a horror game, and that at least 75% of us are sure is in fact a horror game. And I think it's interesting that that sort of thing can happen. But as we've talked about before, any sort of art form doesn't exist in a vacuum. So whether it is or it isn't something depends on people existing to interact with it, perceive it, and decide how they feel about it. So yeah, I think that the developers didn't intend to make a horror game, while important, isn't the whole story, because people have to receive it and they react to it, and that's part of what makes it what it is or isn't. Okay, so another one, Cat Paw Scarves, in favor of horror, says, Little Nightmares is more of a psychological horror, so it relies more on the atmosphere and visuals to make you uneasy instead of relying on throwing something in your face, usually accompanied by a loud noise. There was one point that made me jump a bit, though, and think we had gone from psychological horror to just horror, but even that was minor compared to what other horror games prefer to use.
One thing I think about with that comment is, and we didn't really discuss it, but this game doesn't have gore, really. Like, maybe really at all. I mean, there's some kind of, like, you get a lot of, like, meat and, like, you know, things like the meat being cut up and the butchered and stuff like that. But, like, you know, you never see any of that, really. I don't know. There's not really blood or gore or anything like that, like this person said, where, you know, a regular horror game would maybe be throwing blood in your face and things like that, where this one, I can see their point where they're saying it's more psychological horror because of that.
Yeah, I can personally really see the psychological horror label, just because, you know, the same as what he said there and same as what we talked about, is there's a lot of atmosphere here rather than necessarily jump scares. And not to say that the game is devoid of jump scares, although your mileage may vary on whether or not you feel like they are there or not. But I think that that's usually not the focus of the way that the game works. So it's usually more about feel over time, atmosphere, rather than jumping out and yelling at you. I think we'll share one more we got here, which is from Necromaster, who, in response to some people saying it's not horror, said, the antagonists of the game want to wrap you up, butcher you, serve you as food, and you have no means of defense save to run for your life or hide, and this doesn't fall under the horror genre?
I mean, where to lie, though?
It's a fair point. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I like that one. All right, well, I think that we're probably about ready to wrap it up, but does anybody have any other thoughts that they wanted to share before we call it?
I don't have any good thoughts for those quotes.
I will say my last wrap-up here is that Little Nightmares and Little Nightmares 2 especially had kind of, is one of those games that had sort of a profound effect on me, where I thought about them, especially Little Nightmares 2, for days and days after I finished it, to the point where I sometimes will just go on Twitch to see other people's reactions to Little Nightmares 2's ending, and just to see them be like, what? to see their shock. So I would highly recommend playing this game and the second game. They definitely are difficult platformers. The second one is harder than the first one by quite a bit, I would say. So be ready to do that if that's what you want to do. But yeah, I would recommend playing them, or even just watching somebody on Twitch for the story.
Do you feel like you kind of need the second one to get the whole picture, the whole story? Or is it like two kind of separate stories, or I don't know, just curious how intertwined they are, I guess.
Well, I sort of feel like Little Nightmares 1 is almost Well, I know that Little Nightmares 2 is supposed to be a prequel to the first game, but it almost feels like the Little Nightmares 2 is the game and Little Nightmares is sort of just an epilogue, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like Little Nightmares 2 is the bread and butter of this series.
That's interesting. I did buy it. I haven't had a chance to start it yet because Resident Evil 4. But yeah, I do intend to go back and give it a shot. And then I'll have to watch through a playthrough if it gets to the point where I like it's too hard for me to complete. That's certainly a possibility.
I will tell you, there is a section in Little Nightmares 2 that I literally failed 100 times. So...
I remember you telling me about that. It sounded brutal. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on another episode of Is It Horror? We are going to be talking in 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks by the time this releases, about Evil Dead Rise, where we're going to be doing a review rather than deciding if it's horror. So join us back here for that. And I have been Steve.
I'm Joe.
I'm Matt.
And I am Mitz. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Da, 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 da,
da, da. Thanks for joining us at Is It Horror? We post new episodes every other Friday. Think we didn't give this movie a fair shake? Think we missed something? Do you have a suggestion for future episodes? Or did you just want to say hi? If so, you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Is It Horror Pod. Or you can email us at isithorrorpodcast@gmail.com. In the meantime, stay safe and keep asking yourself,
is it horror?